Praise God, it's that time again! The time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries right here in Clearwater, Florida. And we are always so glad to be on the air with you week after week. It is a joy for us here at Beacon of Hope. Pastor Jim Ellsbury, my associate pastor and wonderful, wonderful friend, and co-laborer in the work of the Lord. You're right here live in the studio with me today. I wish I was in there. I'm in here in the control room, and I love being in here. But it's just, hang on, we'll get your mic going here. I could do that, right?
That would help,
That would help. Okay. So you're right here with us, and then Betty is going to join us by phone in just a few minutes. So that's quite a trio we have today.
It's a good trio.
It's a good trio. I tell you what, I just love all of our radio team members. We've expanded greatly with people that are a part of the radio team now. And we've got three up in Indiana with Shell. Shell's down here with us. With Betty, Megan, and Cindy Logan. And then down here, we've got Shell and Nathan and you and me and Angel, Dr. Angel. And Nan.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I got everybody there. So I think there's like 10 of us now, which is crazy. Good.
Oh, it's wonderful.
It really is. It really is. It's such a joy. You know what? I looked at the calendar early this morning and realized that we're coming up on some very big date for this show, Pastor Jim. Living the Good Life is going to celebrate our 10th anniversary on Sunday, April 16th.
Oh, wow.
It will be 10 years from really that same weekend that we began right here in this studio on the air in 2007. It was Nathan and Connie and I. And it was not that long ago. It doesn't feel like it was that long ago to me. And can you imagine, though, 10 years?
10 years? That's pretty incredible.
Oh, my gosh. Betty, did you just hear that? I just figured out today we're coming up on our 10th anniversary for this show, April 16th.
Cool.
Yeah,
hi.
Cool. Hi. How are you from Indiana, Connersville?
Oh, it's gray and cold here, so.
Okay.
But we're thriving up here.
All right.
So it's okay.
What's your weather temperature-wise?
28, but it feels like 16.
Okay. All right, PJ.
I had to get on my computer real quick when you said the date.
Yes.
Want any guesses as to what Sunday that happens to be?
It's not Easter, is it?
It's Resurrection Sunday.
No way.
It is.
No way. Oh, my gosh. Okay, April 16th, Resurrection Sunday, is the 10th anniversary to the day. I mean, I think that show, our first one 10 years ago, was actually April 17th. But you know what? It's that same Sunday right
mm-hmm.
there. It's 10 years. We are going to celebrate and have a great big show that day, not only for Resurrection Day and a beach service here. In our area. So if you're anywhere nearby, let us know so you can find out where we're going to be on the Dunedin Causeway, more than likely, where we kind of go every year.
That's kind of our spot.
It's kind of our spot at 9 a.m. on Resurrection morning. Anyway, so that's pretty cool, don't you think, Betty? What do you think? Come talk to us.
I think that's awesome. I may have to come down.
Well, that'd be fine. You just come on down, you know?
That sounds like a time to celebrate.
It sure does. Maybe we can get Connie to call in, you know? So we'll see.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
But anyway, what a great time that will be to celebrate 10 full years on the air on this station week after week. And only once or twice in that whole time have we done a rerun. This past Sunday, Christmas Day, we did a rerun. First one in years. We just always are live on the show. So welcome all of our listeners. We're so glad you're tuning in today. It's going to be a wild, great show with great music. And with Pastor Jim and Betty and, of course, all of our radio contributors, you never know what's coming up, you know? So you got to stay tuned because it's always good stuff, right? Woo! Dear Lord, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity on the air today. We thank you that you are the living God, that you reign in our lives, that you have fresh Rhema word for us today from your precious word. We can't wait to open it and see what you have to say to us today. Lord, we thank thank you for all that are tuning in around the globe. And Lord, we know that there are many, many, many that we will never, ever meet, but we'll meet them in heaven. So to all of those, Lord, we ask that you work a good work in each of our hearts. Help us draw closer to you through this show today. We thank you for the anointing of God upon it. And we praise you and give you all the glory in advance for what you're going to do in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Woo, amen and amen. I just found out from StarcomRadioNetwork.com, which is our partner on the weekends that plays this show, like this coming Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m., the show will broadcast on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. Just found out that they've expanded from 36 stations across the United States to 55 and more coming on board. And so there's a lot of new listeners, and so welcome to Living the Good Life. And we are, we're just a word-based, Bible-believing, scripture-quoting, living the truth of God's Word day in and day out. That's who we are. We're nothing fancy. We're small in a lot of ways, but we are outreaches broad. And so welcome all of our new listeners. PJ, you want to say anything to that? And we're going to get to a song here in just a minute.
Well, that's pretty much sums up who we are. We just...
Okay.
We love the Word.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we love the Lord. We love His Word. We're thankful for the blood and blessed by the Spirit. And
woo,
I just...
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's so important because of that for us to get the Word out.
Absolutely.
The true Word.
Exactly.
You know, because there's so many hurting lives, so many people who are damaged,
yes,
who are hurt.
Yes.
Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually.
Right.
The Word of God is meant to minister to all of that.
That's exactly right.
And it's our calling to get the Word out to minister to hurting lives.
Amen. That's our slogan.
That's our slogan.
Where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. Rejoice with us right now, and then we'll talk to Betty after this song. I've been playing this in my car all week by Chris Tomlin. Gotta start the show with this. Come on. Where is it? Well, go ahead for a minute, PJ. I don't know where it went. I better restart it. Go ahead.
Well, just so everybody knows, this is going to be one great show because there have been a few issues back
yeah,
and forth.
Yeah, tell them about that.
My battery went dead, and there were issues with the recording stuff in here. So, you know, I just want to tell everybody, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a glorious ride.
Yeah, it really is. All right, here we go. There we go.
And make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. What's not to love about you? Adore you, kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one. You are the love that frees us. You are the light that leads us. Like a fire burning. About you, heaven and adore you. Kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens we were. Sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift
right now. Lord, we praise you and bless you from the bottom of our hearts. We give you glory and honor and praise. We just want to sing your praises. We just want to talk about you today, Lord. Woo! We are in a series right now. Let's go to Luke 15. We're in a series called Going the Distance, and it's all about hanging in there, even though there are times in our lives when it's hard to hang in there, when it feels like everything is coming at us and there's no way around disaster. God says, if you go the distance with me, I will bless you. I will bring you to a place of a well-watered garden, a place where all the blessings are going to pour upon you, and there's going to be streams in the desert. There, God has so many blessings for us. Betty and Pastor Jim are with me right now. We're going to Luke chapter 15. We're going to start with verse 11. It's the story of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son, this story's known, I think it's one of the more common Bible stories that's known today. It so applies to our study here in Going the Distance. Because so often we want to get something right now. We want to get it right now. We're not willing to wait for God to unravel the whole plan. So often we are just in such a hurry, we miss out on the blessings. This young man was kind of very much in a hurry, I guess. Kind of very much in a hurry. Wouldn't you say, Pastor Jim? He was wanting his inheritance he wanted it now.
Yeah, he sure did. You know, he couldn't even wait for his father to pass.
Right.
You know, he demanded his, because he would have gotten one third of everything.
Right.
So he demanded it right then and there.
Yeah.
You're right. He was impatient. I want it. I want what I want, and I want it now.
And I think a lot of people are that way, you know, and that's why it's hard for people to hang in and go the distance, because of that desire to have everything right this very moment.
Well, it certainly got him into trouble.
It did. Let's see what happens. And he goes to his father in verse 10 or 11 of Luke 15, and he says, I want right now what's coming to me. So the father divided the property between this young man and his brother. This was the younger of the two. And it wasn't long before this younger son packed up his bags and left for a distant country. Interesting. He didn't want his inheritance so he could expand his farm there with his dad and his brother, or put more money into growing more for everybody's good. He was all about himself. Wouldn't you agree? Betty, talk to us. PJ, I know you agree. I can see you.
You see my head bobbing.
You can see your head bobbing. Betty, talk to me about this young man.
Well, I think he wanted to go his own way, and he didn't care who was in his way.
Right.
It was going to be his way or no way.
Right.
And that's kind of what happens with us when we kind of go down the long highway, but that probably wasn't God's timing for us or for that young man.
But, you know, it's interesting because the father didn't fight him. And what I know of God, the God I serve, he doesn't fight us either. He has a best plan for us, but he doesn't make us submit to that plan. Right, PJ?
Right, right. I mean, just like the son here, he could have said, no, you have to wait, or I'm not going to give it to you, or,
right,
you know, you want to go, but you're not going to do it with my blessing.
Right.
And I just think it's interesting, too. He was running because it said he went to a distant country.
Right.
I think that's important because almost like already he was starting to feel shame about what he did. He just wanted to get as far away as he could.
Right.
That's
a good point.
You know, so he went to a distant, he didn't even go like to the next country.
Right.
He went to a distant country.
Right.
And I never thought
far,
about
far, far away, yeah. Like in Shrek.
Yeah, he just went
far, far away.
He went far, far away.
Exactly.
And, you know, of course, when he got there, he squandered all his money on, the New American Standard says, loose living.
Loose living.
So,
okay. Yep, yep, he did. And there, after he did all that and got there, and oddly enough, it was not a time of prosperity in that far distant country. It was a time where famine hit. And it's interesting in life, isn't it? When we do our own thing, sometimes we end up in a far worse situation than if we would have just sat still and waited. Betty, talk to me about that, because that's what happened to this guy.
Well, you know, it's like you guys have been talking about, is like when we, you know, it's all, God gives us a choice.
Right, he does.
He gives us a choice of free will. And when we decide that we, you know, this young man wanted to squander his inheritance.
Right.
He did it not unto God, but unto himself, because I think God, if he would have taken that money and put it somewhere where it would have maybe, you know, he would have invested it back into the family farm, into the family business.
Right.
Or had taken it to use it to advance God's kingdom, it may have been a different story.
Right.
But the poor guy, you know, he just decided that, you know, again, he was going to go do his own thing. He had money, probably money that he had not had that much before, and it was burning a hole in his pocket, so to speak.
Right.
And he just plundered it. He just squandered it, whatever vocabulary word you want to use. But sometimes we reap what we sow.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah.
Some sort of extravagant living is that, you know, sometimes, you know, people have the money, but they're not all that happy either.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, that some money does not buy happiness, and it does buy different things that we need or want. That's true. But so often when we have a bad motive behind what we're doing, it's not going to turn out well. Pastor Jim, talk to me about this, because it sure didn't for this young man.
It did not for this guy. And
no.
It popped in my head, Genesis chapter 26.
Uh-huh.
Because there was a famine in the land, and God specifically told Isaac, don't go anywhere.
Right.
Don't go to Egypt. One time for them all to go to Egypt yet.
Right.
He said, don't go to Egypt. I'll bless you where you're at.
Right.
Then he gave the promise again to Isaac about inheriting the land. And then over in verse 12 of Genesis chapter 26, now Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. And
yes,
that Isaac obeyed the Lord even in the land of famine.
Right.
The prodigal went running off in disobedience and ended up in famine, whereas Isaac, who obeyed God, was blessed.
Right.
Even in the midst of a famine around him, God blessed him.
Boy, that'll preach. Because when we obey, and if God says, stay put, I'll bless you right where you are, then you stay put and let God bless you. And this young man runs off, and he not, like the New American Standard, loose living, gambling, who knows what all he was up to.
Now, later on, we find out it was at least prostitutes.
Prostitutes, okay. So all this stuff he got himself into, and he was in a distant country, and he couldn't find a job. and he had no money left. And I would imagine he had a lot of friends when he had a lot of money, because that's kind of how the world works, right? If you got enough money to help me out, then you're my friend. And, oh, your money's run out, then they're gone. You know, that's kind of a thing. And that's what happened to this young man. And he found a job, what the Message Bible says, slopping the pigs. Which, Betty, we're going to rely on your Indiana, knowledge here. Of course, we're all three from Indiana, so I think we all know what slopping the pigs means. But we'll let you take this one.
Oh, thanks. I would be glad to. Since y'all won't do it. One of the things that you do when you have livestock is you have to feed them.
That's right. Yeah.
In this particular situation, slop is exactly what it means.
Right.
That it's a conglomeration of many things, and it could be anywhere from corn to grain to actually garbage.
Right.
Leftover corn stalks or whatever was available at that time, especially if there was a famine in the land.
Right.
And to be able to do this, I mean, you have to get down and dirty when you slop pigs, because there was, if that's the only job there was to do, and this is the only job that was available for him, he did it.
Yeah.
So we have consequences.
Right.
For the things that we can get ourselves into. And I know one of the things when I was reading the scripture this morning is that when we go off and we try to do our own thing, we don't think about the things that or the people that we hurt.
Right.
And I think that, you know, when we think about the prodigal son, we also have to remember the bereaved father.
Oh, yeah.
Lost
true.
Lost his son to a distant country.
Right.
And, you know, he thought maybe he had raised him a little bit different. And that's probably why he gave him the money, is that he thought that his son was a little bit more responsible than what
he was.
When we get to that point in our lives, we were talking about, you know, God gives us a choice. What are you going to do with it?
Right.
We have to think about the consequences of what our actions are going to bring. And to be able to get to the next, from point A to point B, you have to contemplate and you have to consider everything. It's just, we don't have, some people have blinders on and they just run straight in like a bull in a china shop.
Right.
and don't think about the consequences.
That's,
and I don't think this young man considered what could happen once he left the security of his father.
Right.
You know, he wanted to go out and be on his own, and that's probably what a lot of young people want to do, is just get out from underneath the parents' rule. But they don't consider, it's not always greener in the other side of the pasture.
Oh, that's so true. Good points. Pastor Jim, you wanted to comment on that too?
Well, yeah, and I think too, putting it in context of who he was talking to, who Jesus was telling this to.
Right.
This son became the lowest of the low.
Right.
Feeding the most unclean animal,
at least
in Jewish eyes.
Right.
I mean, here he was out feeding the pigs.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
You know, that is. I mean, when you stop to think that that demon legion,
right?
Where did they go? Into a whole pack of pigs.
Yeah.
And here the son is reduced to actually slavery, basically.
Yeah.
It says in verse 15, he went and hired himself out, or was joined to. Literally, it says was joined to, which means he became a slave.
Yeah.
Basically, he became hired himself out like an indentured servant
to a pig farmer.
Now,
right.
that's about as low as you can get.
Well, it even says here he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would even let him, they wouldn't even give him the corn cobs, you know, that the pigs were eating. Oh, my gosh. But in verse 17 of Luke 15, it says in the Message Bible, that brought him to his senses. You know, it's a thing, a lot of times when we are really faced with the consequences of our actions, it's a wake-up call for a lot of people, don't you think?
In 12-step terms, it's hitting bottom.
Hitting bottom,
All of a sudden, boom, here he was.
Right.
He'd been out thought he had it made, spent all his money. I'm just seeing pictures in my head of Pinocchio, you know.
Yeah.
The cartoon where, you know, Pinocchio gets into all that trouble.
I know, I wasn't thinking about Pinocchio.
I just said it. It just kind of flew through my head.
Okay.
But it's the same sort of thing here. I mean, you know, I agree with you. He probably had friends. The money's gone.
Yep.
He's got to do something. And at this point, he's not ready to go back to his father's house. Because I'm sure he's ashamed. I'm sure he feels guilty. Maybe he thinks father's going to say, "See, I told you so."
Mm-hmm.
You know, or maybe thought the father would reject him.
Right. Oh yeah.
You know, so his only choice, I'm sure he saw in his own eyes, was to slop the pigs.
Oh yeah. Well, it says here in verse 17 that all of a sudden he comes to his senses when he's so hungry he can't even eat an old used corn cob. And he says, all these other workers at my father's table have three meals a day. And here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father and I am going to say, I've sinned and I've sinned before you and I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand. And it's interesting, he didn't stay long in that desperate situation. It says he got right up and went home to his father. You know, I mean, the situation was so desperate. And maybe some of you out there in Radio Land have a bad situation right now that needs a turnaround. And so the answer is found right here. You rise up and you go to your father. And your father is Almighty God who loves you so very much. Betty, did you want to comment on that before we see what happens to him on the journey back?
Well, I think that a lot of times that when we get in a sticky situation, that sometimes when we hit rock bottom, that's when we have to depend on the rock.
Right.
To be able to bring us back and set us on solid ground.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that a lot of times that Holy Spirit conviction can bring us to our senses.
Right.
When we have to think about what we've done, the word repentance comes into play.
Repentance.
I'm sure you'll talk about here in just a few minutes.
Yeah.
But again, there's some people have a big ego, and, you know, going back home to where he came from is hard. I had that in my own family many years ago of someone who moved out and fell on hard times, I'm sure was starving too, but also got tied up into narcotics and drugs, and it wasn't the life that he thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get in that situation where maybe we've taken a step backward instead of moving forward like the Lord wants us to.
Right.
But I think sometimes in those situations, Pastor Jim and Pastor Marcia, if we learn a lesson, if we learn what maybe God's trying to tell us, he's trying to speak to us, he's trying to get our attention. I mean, he's probably throwing all kinds of things in our way to say, hey, wait a minute, I'm here. I never left you. You left me.
Right.
So you get into that situation of when it's time to go home and I've got egg on my face and I've got to get down on my knees and beg for forgiveness. That's what's coming up.
Woo!
Just beg for forgiveness.
You are so right. I'm going to play just a couple minutes of this song because it is a perfect intro into what happens next. Mighty to Save. Listen to this. Not going to play the whole 5 minutes. But it's a great song. It makes the point. To save, just had to play a little bit of that one right now, because that's where we're at right here in this story. We're at verse 20 for those just joining us in Luke 15. Pastor Jim, you want to comment on this? See what happened to this young man.
Yeah,
what happened?
This is one of my favorite verses. So he got him, came to his father, and it says while he was still a long way off,
yeah,
the father saw him and felt compassion. So this was pointed out a long time ago to me that the father wasn't sitting on the front porch, or I don't even think father was going about his regular business. The father saw him while he was a long way off. That means father was looking for him.
Right.
This man's father was on the road every day, staring down that road, looking for his son.
I'm
about ready to start crying.
That's the nature
looking
of our Father. That's why we
feel
like crying.
Come back.
Yes.
And it said he was filled with compassion. You know, that's one of my favorite Greek words.
Right.
Where it means that just he got punched in the gut.
Right.
He saw his son. And it's that the Greek word means almost like getting punched in the gut. That's how strong compassion is.
Yes.
And he said look what the Father did. He ran and embraced and kissed him. That's the father doing it, not the son.
Right.
That's the father seeing the son a long way off and running to him to kiss and embrace his son.
You know, there are people out there listening to the sound of our voices right now who are a long way off from God. They're way out there, and they have said, you know what, I don't need God. This happened to me. This happened. God allowed it, whatever, or God caused it, and they blame God for things. This story applies to all of you out there that have maybe just not been as close in relationship with God the Father as you need to be. Maybe it's because you're angry. Maybe it's because you feel like God's let you down and you need to forgive God for whatever it is that happened that hurt you. And yet the Son is coming, and that's you coming up the road. And here is the Father, your loving Heavenly Father, going out to find the Son. God is always on a search for us. He is always looking for us, trying to find us, and to bring us back into the place where we belong in His family, you know? He's always looking for us. Betty, do you have a comment on that? Before we ask Pastor Jim what happened next?
Well, God is, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Yes.
And that scripture rings so true because God's love endures forever.
Amen.
A father's love endures forever, whether it be our biological father, our stepfather, whomever.
Yes.
Is that our Heavenly Father's love never changes.
Amen.
It's always there. And I think that once that you're a mom or you're a dad or a father, you never lose sight of the love for your children. No matter what the naysayers say, oh, let him go, you know, he deserves everything he got, you know, that kind of of talk that maybe the hired hands had talked to him about. But back so many years ago when that young man was born, God gave him a blessing and he gave him a son.
Right.
And that love developed and it turned into a special bond that only a father and a son can have, or a mother and a daughter, whomever.
Right.
And even though sometimes you might get mad at your
That's normal.
They do something really stupid, like take their inheritance and go plunder it on stupid stuff, so to speak.
Right.
Is the fact that love never changed. That
no.
love, even though he said, okay, I give you this and I give it to you out of love because I do love you. Well, that's what our Heavenly Father does, Pastor Jim and Pastor Marcia, is he blessings us. He throws blessing upon us. And a lot of times, and I'm not saying this that we all do it, but sometimes we take it for granted. And that son took his father for granted. He took his money. He took the money that he thought he was deserving of. But his father never gave up on him. And our Heavenly Father never gives up.
He never does. He never does. The father comes out to meet him. Go ahead, Pastor Jim. You wanted to comment on that.
Well, yeah. And then the son still says what he needs to say.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think that's important, too.
Basically asks him for forgiveness.
Yeah,
you know,
the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and in your sight, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.
Mm-hmm.
And the father kicked him on down the road and said, you're absolutely right. I want nothing more to do with you.
That's not what it
says,
PJ. That's not what it says.
And I love this. And
Verse 22,
the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's eat to celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate.
Woo!
And I want to read a verse out of Isaiah chapter 61.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Verse 10. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God.
Yes.
For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation.
Yes.
He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness.
Woo!
As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. That's talking about getting saved there.
Right.
I mean, put up, you know, we have the robe, but the robe of righteousness.
Yes, that's
that
what the clothes symbolize.
We're just wrapped in righteousness.
Yes.
The ring, our authority.
Right.
Like, you know, you'd have the signet ring where you could use the father's authority.
Right.
And sandals on his feet.
Yeah.
Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, there's
so symbolic right here. These three things, y'all may want to write them down. It's not coincidence that he ordered a clean set of clothes. And like PJ just said, that symbolizes how we become when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ and we take on his righteousness, not ours, but his. And we are suddenly in right standing. That'll preach.
That will. And it just popped in my head about Zechariah.
Yeah.
One of his visions, the high priest was there. And I think it was Joshua, oddly enough, the high priest. And the accuser, we know who that is, the evil one, it's Satan, was pointing him out, saying, look at those dirty clothes. And God said, take those off him and put, and they wrapped him in clean priestly robes.
Yes.
You know, Isaiah says, all our righteousness is as filthy rags.
Yeah, and in our own strength.
In our own.
Yeah, we can't do it.
And that's where the son was at.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how... First of all, he had to stink because he was out swapping the pigs.
Oh, gosh. Can you imagine? You could smell him coming away, miles away.
It was a distant land, and I doubt that he stopped at any hotel because he didn't have any money.
Right.
So he probably needed a good bath.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what the father did.
Yes.
That is so amazing. The Father.
Oh, yes.
After all this stuff, the Son put the Father through, and the Father was hurting.
Yeah.
Was hurting over the
right.
Son. And yet, even before, you know, even before the Son asked for forgiveness,
right.
the Father ran out to find him. The Son asked for forgiveness, and the Father says, we're going to have a big old party now.
That's right. And it was an act of the will of the Son to ask for forgiveness and realize his mistakes
yeah. mm-hmm.
and say, I'm not worthy even to be called your son. Just make me a slave, you know? Oh, Betty, comment on that. Comment, will
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I'm ready to comment.
I knew you were chomping at the bit.
Oh,
I could feel
yeah,
it.
Yeah, chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
Like, come on, guys, hurry
come
up.
Come on, go.
Before this is just a passing thought, one of the things that when I read most all of Luke, and as I was reading it, once something is lost and it's found,
yeah.
whether it be in stories before, the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son, is that if one person, one sinner repents, that there's rejoicing and there's celebration.
That's exactly right. Big
and
party.
So that a big, big party. I mean, angels rejoice. Mm-hmm. Everyone rejoices. And that's what that father did when his son came home. Is that, and that's what the Father, our Heavenly Father, does when we come home.
Mm-hmm.
Or we give our life over to him.
Ooh,
we
yeah.
repent. Dear Father, please forgive me, for I have sinned, and I have only sinned in your sight. And that's what, I mean, I can imagine what this the prodigal son's father felt in rejoicing, but just think how our Heavenly Father rejoices when we come before the throne and say, or the cross, whatever we do, and say, Father, please forgive me, for I have sinned.
Amen.
And heaven has a celebration.
Woo! Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, yeah.
There have been two verses of Dancing Heart running through my head all day.
I got to play this song because this is the one that I asked you to, PJ, to put on a CD for me because it's been going through my heart and playing on my music today that, Lord, I need you. I think this is the way he felt, the young man. Maybe you feel this way today, dear one.
Lord,
praise God.
I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Couldn't have been said any better, right, Pastor Jim?
Amen.
Whoa. So talk about that. He puts that robe of righteousness on his young man, his son. Puts that ring on his finger to show who he belongs to. That's a covenant relationship, like a ring when you get married. It's a covenant relationship between this son and his father with the family. Dear one, God wants a covenant relationship with you. He wants you to wear his ring. He wants you to be so in tune with him that when people say, well, who do you belong to? Well, I belong to God. He's my father. We're doing Facebook live on our Bible study on Wednesday nights now at 7:30. And last week I asked the question, who do you belong to? Where do you belong? And this story right here just brings it home, doesn't it? Who do we belong to? We are in covenant relationship with God. No matter how much this son had sinned against his father, the father basically said, you're forgiven. Let's clean you up. Let's put on that robe of righteousness. Let's give you the ring that symbolizes you're part of this family. Whoa. And let's give you some sandals of peace so that you're not worried anymore about the mistakes you've made, but you're going to walk around on this farm in peace that you belong. Talk to me, Betty.
Whoa. I think one of the things is that, you know, the son was given up for dead, and now he's alive.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to us.
Yeah.
That, you know, we could be totally dead inside. That,
yeah.
We just don't care anymore, and it's that living water that flows over us at the time of our first time repentance, or giving our lives to Christ, or the 355 million times that we repent in our lifetime. It's always the same. It's
yes.
always the outstretched
yes.
hand of God.
Yes.
That brings us back and puts us where we are, and that we wear that robe of righteousness, and that we have that love that never fails.
Mm-hmm.
I keep bringing that up, but God's love, you know, no matter if you're down and out, if you're depressed, you say, well, you don't understand my situation, people. You do not understand my situation. Maybe I don't, but I know someone who does.
Yes, yes, yes.
Who knows you just as you are.
Right.
Because he created you. He created you in his image. And that's the thing that this message today is trying to relate is to people today, is that we have a father, we have a savior who died on the cross, who his father gave his son
right.
for us.
Amen.
So that this man's son could come home,
mm-hmm.
be forgiven, and become alive again, spiritually,
yes,
physically, mentally, and that's what we are trying to convey to the listening audience today, is that we were once dead, but we've been found. And we are alive.
Woo,
we are alive
amen.
Because of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And that's how.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And if you go back to the very first song today, sing, 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 right? That's how come we can sing, sing, sing.
And that's why they celebrated.
Right? You know? So go on with that, BJ, very next line. Right.
Yeah, because he says, you know, let's bring the fatty calf, let's kill it, let's celebrate.
Yeah.
And like Betty reminded us right here in verse 24, the son of mine was dead.
Yes.
You know, and you were all dead in your trespasses and sins in Ephesians chapter 2, but you were made alive in him.
Oh, how true.
You know, that's
true,
a wonderful thing.
True.
We were lost.
Yes.
And we are found. And they began to celebrate.
I've got to read a verse that Megan sent, which is Betty's daughter, who's also one of our radio team members, sent it to some of us yesterday. And it is in John 5, and it rang so true to me when I saw it yesterday. And I know this verse, but it just is so appropriate for right now. John 5, 25 to 27. It's urgent that you get this right. The time has arrived. I mean, right now. This is Jesus talking. When dead men and women, now we're not talking about physically dead, we're talking about spiritually and emotionally dead here, will do what? What's going to happen to them? They'll hear the voice of the Son of God. It can actually mean if they're physically dead too, because someday we are going to hear the voice of God and be resurrected, right? I'm going to play a song about that in a minute. But we'll hear the voice of the Son of God, and hearing will come alive. That's now. Dear one, you may be one of these that feels like you're dead on the inside. I got a text from somebody this week that said that they felt that way, that they felt lost. They felt that awful feeling of being alone. And right here, the voice of the Son of God, and you will come alive. And just as the Father has life in himself, he has conferred on the Son, Jesus, life in himself, and he has given him the authority simply because he is the Son of Man to decide and carry out matters of judgment. And basically, he's saying, guys, this is the time. And when that word came through Megan yesterday, it rang true in my spirit. This is the time for dead people to rise up and hear the voice of God, for love to overcome hate, for a desire for God to overcome that laziness and lackadaisical behavior that a lot of us get into. This is a time to get serious about your relationship with Almighty God. Talk to me about that, Betty, and then we'll go to PJ.
Well, you know, I have the same reaction when I read it, is that, you know, I've read John several times and in my times that I've spent with Christ in the Word, but when she sent it, and then she sent the song that went right along with it.
Yeah.
That's what made that verse for the first time in so many odd years. It came alive.
Yeah, it did to me too.
The dry bones.
Right. I've played that over and over and over again. I got to get that CD. I wrote it down. I've got to buy that. We got to use it on the show. Dry bones come alive. Yeah.
Yeah, and I read it, and she sent me a text and told me, she said, did you read my email? Well, I'm not real good about reading emails unless it's from the prayer line. And it's like, whoa. I mean, I almost had to pull over to the side of the road. It's like, I said to myself, God, are you telling me that I'm dead? And you know what he told me? He said, no, it's time for you, me, to tell them that I'm alive.
That's right. That is exactly
right. And so it's like, oh, okay, God, I do my best. You know, then I went into the sob story saying, okay, God, I'm sorry. I guess I need to be a little bit more vocal when it comes to telling people about you.
Yeah.
But then you know what he said?
What'd he say?
He said, Betty Lou, sometimes you don't have to say a word.
Right.
If you let your light shine,
my
light shine through you.
Right.
By your actions,
right.
By the things that you do, by the text that you send, by the posts in your Facebook, by whatever, is that people are watching us.
That's right, they are.
Right now, people are watching us to see how we're going to react to the everyday things in our life or the things that are around us nationwide. And they're waiting to see what you're going to, you know, I hate people at work. What's your reaction to that? And I said that God is still on the throne.
Right.
That God is still my Savior, and he can be yours. And that's all you have to say.
Yeah,
you don't have to get
into all that. Yeah.
You don't have to be, you know, on a street corner preaching. If that's what you want to do, do it. But he's telling us again, it's time.
It's time for the dead to rise up into new life.
It's time.
Woo, amen. Pastor Jim, talk to us a minute before we get up here to the top of the hour already.
Wow.
I know.
Well, just in the song that Megan sent about dry bones, that comes from Ezekiel.
It does.
Where he's, you know, God commanded Ezekiel to prophesy over this valley of dry bones.
Right.
And, you know, they rattled, they shook off the dust, they came together, they were covered with flesh.
Right.
But they were still dead.
Yeah.
And God told Ezekiel to prophesy again to the spirit.
Right.
And he did. He prophesied to the spirit. And the spirit entered those dead bodies, and they stood up, it says, an exceeding great army. And that's right. What God's calling us to be.
Yes.
Is an exceeding great army.
It is.
But we have to recognize that we were dead, we're now alive.
Amen.
And we have to walk in that new life, empowered by the Holy Spirit.
And this young man had to take on that. Let him put that wonderful new robe and clean robe and wash his body and put on the ring and walk in the sandals of peace and not look back at his mistakes and move forward into his rightful position because his father gave him that position.
Yes, it's a shame the elder brother wasn't quite so nice.
Yeah, the elder brother had a fit, didn't he, and got really angry and jealous because he'd never been had a party given for him like that.
But he could have. That's what.
But isn't that interesting with human nature? So often when we see God blessing someone, we go, they don't deserve that.
Right.
Why are you blessing them, Lord? Come on, I've always been good. I've always gone to church. I've always gone to Sunday school. Blah, 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 blah.
And why should this person who just now turned around and came to you be so blessed?
That's right.
Sometimes I think we forget what it was like when we first got saved.
That's exactly right. And we do forget that. Amen. We do. We are coming up on the top of the hour. We got to do station ID in just a minute. And we want to remind you that this ministry has been going on for 15 years, 10 years right here on the air on this show. And we are also Facebooking a lot now. PJ, how do they find our Beacon of Hope Facebook? And what's the address there on Facebook?
Well, it's just Beacon of Hope Ministries on Facebook. You can do a search for that. And as I told one of my coworkers, look for the lighthouse with a rainbow around it. That would be us.
Yeah, because there's so many. They're different. We're different. And so you can find it with that all those rainbow colors, which signifies that he's God of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's God for everyone. And so go there, and you can find the last three Wednesday night posts that we did at Bible study. The first one was 7 minutes something, and then the last two have been kind of 13 minutes, but I've been pleased with the way they've turned out. We've had a lot of views, and I got a good response. And it's something that we're going to be doing regularly Wednesday nights at 7:30. Write it down somewhere, and we'll be on live. You can find it under my name and or Beacon of Hope Ministries, either one, because you're going to put it on live right then on Beacon, right in the Bible study. So just go to Beacon of Hope page, and that's the way to find it. So, and we want your comments. So send comments to us.